Wow. Be turning, if you would, this morning to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 8. It's a tremendous passage of Scripture. I don't think in these last 30 years I've actually preached an entire message from this passage. I've used it, referred to it, looked at it, but today we're going to examine it and trust that the Lord will teach us some tremendous things from it. Please, if you would, stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. We'll begin reading in verse 26. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the spirits said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? I love this. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And hopefully you have a King James Bible, because most of the modern translations eliminate verse 37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Lord.
He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. Hallelujah. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Father, we bow before you once again, asking you, Father, for your help. Lord, surely you understand the frailty and weaknesses of the preacher that stands before this people. While I'm asking you in that lovely name of our Savior to get him out of the way, declare, preach the message that you would want for this assembly today. Give liberty of lip and understanding, illumination, to both declare and to receive your word. I pray, Father. Lord, I pray for anyone that might be within these walls today and does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, does not have that hope of where they will spend eternity, whether in the judgment of hell or with you, Lord, and your Son in glory. Father, please do beautiful things, eternal things in hearts and lives, and we will be quick. We will be ready to give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And of course, may be seated. I love to hear salvation testimonies.
Amen.
How someone got saved. It's exciting for me to listen to those accounts of just how God worked in this one or that one, and drawing them, bringing them savingly by the Holy Spirit of God to Himself. In this passage we deal with today, we have two testimonies. One of a preacher that God used in a very beautiful, tremendous way, but also the testimony, the story of how this man, a eunuch from Ethiopia, got saved. How God brought him to Jesus Christ. This portion of Scripture is rich, it's abundant in tremendous spiritual and biblical truth concerning the message of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us to pay the price of our sins. But it's also a message about how God can use us. How He can use us if we're in that place He wants us to be. But we also have in this passage some excellent, some tremendous instruction on this thing known as believer's baptism. Believer's baptism. And we'll look at that all as we go along through here. I want to see first this message to the preacher, a message to an obedient preacher. We read there in verses 26 and 27 where God says to, or sends this angel and instructs Philip, arise and go. Arise and go. And of course, he went. The message. This message is given to Philip, who became known as the evangelist. We read there in verse 40 that after this event, Philip's caught away by the Spirit of God. He ends up preaching from Azotus all the way to Caesarea. And it seems that he settled down there in Caesarea. Because as we get towards the end of the book of Acts, in chapter 21, I'll read this. Chapter 21, verse 8. It says, in the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. One of the seven, speaking of one of those seven, well, those seven original deacons in the letter, or excuse me, in Acts chapter 6. He was one of those original seven men that were set aside for that task described by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as those servants of the church of Jerusalem called deacons. Well, in chapter 8, verse 5, Philip travels from Jerusalem and he goes up to Samaria. He goes up there to preach Christ. To declare the gospel, the saving message that is in Jesus Christ. Well, God bless that ministry. That God bless that ministry there in Samaria. It says in verse 12 of chapter 8. It says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. What was that all about? About Jesus Christ. About the kingdom of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. It says, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Well, along the way, Philip remains there in Samaria until he gets another commission, another direction. And that in verse 26, it says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. What did the angel tell him to do? Arise and go. Arise and go. Beloved, that's been God's message to believers since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to go. Go into all the world. And what? Preach the gospel. It's our calling. That's been God's message from the beginning. And in this case, God gives Philip specific direction where he wants him to go. Where he wants him to go. Look at this. It's a specific message, but it's also a divine message. Consider what was going on here. And what went into this message. God sends a specific person, Philip, on a mission with a divine message. That message concerning Jesus Christ. To deliver to a specific man in a specific place at a specific time. And when this specific man was reading a specific passage of Scripture, all of this came together for God's divine purpose. Only God could put this together. Thus, the title of this morning's message, An Appointment in the Desert. Only God could put such a thing together. Only God could put this meeting together. What we find, Philip arises to go. He obeys the instruction of the Lord. And he finds this man. This man riding along in his chariot. The seeking eunuch. The seeking eunuch. In verse 27, as he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This man, this eunuch, had a position of great authority back home in his country. He has charge of all the queen of Ethiopia's treasure. You say, how much was that? Well, I don't know, but it was probably a great deal. Candace, it's hard to tell if Candace was actually her name. The word itself that Candace comes from is actually another word for queen. Now, it was some kind of a royal title, and she became known by that title. Regardless, this man, this eunuch, works for her. And he is given charge, essentially, of everything she owns. All of her treasure. Now, because this eunuch had great authority, it gave him also some liberty. He has the ability to the freedom to travel from Ethiopia over to Jerusalem. Over to Jerusalem. And he goes there, as we're told, to worship. And so he's quite evidently a convert then to Judaism. Because of who he was. He then had that liberty, had the ability, had the resources, the power to travel to Jerusalem to worship. Now, this pilgrimage would have been very, very important to him. He's now, as we find him, on his return trip back home. And it appears that while he has been there in Jerusalem, he was able to acquire a copy of the prophecy of Isaiah. And now he's on his way home. And he's reading from the book of Isaiah, which we'll get to in a moment. It's important, though, as we read here, that having a copy of God's Word and even reading it is not a guarantee that you will understand it. I grew up in a home that had more than one Bible. There wasn't a single member of my family that knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I remember picking up that Bible and going through the pages. I didn't understand a lick. But along the way, as for the eunuch, God's pleas to bring someone along to explain the Scriptures to them. to explain the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And at the divine appointment arranged by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh my. Philip arrives as the eunuch is reading from that scroll. God tells Philip, as we read here, go over and join yourself to this chariot. Go over there and speak to this man, as we read in verse 29. In verse 30, Philip asks the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch responds in verse 31, how can I, except some man should guide me? And again, it's amazing. He invites Philip, come up and join me. Uh-huh. Only God could put this together. What? Yeah. God had to be directing and orchestrating this whole thing. Why would this eunuch? He doesn't. Who's this guy runs over here to my chariot? Who's he? Doesn't he know who I am? I'm an important man. God put this. Philip runs over. Do you understand what you're reading? No, I don't have a clue. Come on up here and explain it to me. It's a divine appointment with supernatural, miraculous import to it. We see the eunuch's darkened understanding. He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't understand. Even though he's a convert to Judaism, a Jewish proselyte, as they were called, he doesn't understand what Isaiah is writing there in our verses 32 and verse 33. And that message comes from the prophecy of Isaiah. And in our Bible, it's the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verses 7 and 8. And I'll read from that passage. You keep your eyes there in Acts chapter 8, verses 32 and verse 33. And I'll read from Isaiah. Isaiah says this. He, speaking of this one, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Remember, Jesus was that lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Who's going to declare his story? Will it be us? For he was cut off from the land of the living. Why? For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Wow. And so we see that the eunuch is reading the message of the suffering Savior. He's reading the message of the suffering Messiah. God sent one. These verses describe the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for the sins, the transgression of men. Our sin, our transgressions. And what happens? What happens? Well, in verse 34, the eunuch asked another question. He asked Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself? Or some other man? That's a legitimate question. As he reads that passage, is this how he, the prophet, was going to one time die? Or is he talking about someone else? Well, he was indeed talking about someone else. He was talking about that one that would come. That one that would be sent from the portals of glory. And he himself would take upon himself flesh and blood, live amongst men. And the day would come when he would be arrested and imprisoned, where he would be cruelly, cruelly, hideously beaten. And through it all, kept his mouth. Ultimately, gave His life, shed His blood as the payment for my sin. The payment for our sins. And Philip starts right there in Isaiah 53. And he preaches Jesus to the eunuch. Philip opened his mouth. Hallelujah. Most preachers are pretty quick to open their mouths. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, right there in Isaiah 53, and preached unto him Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The conversation isn't recorded for us. It isn't recorded for us, but the statement, that simple statement, preached unto him Jesus, is an indication that Philip told how Jesus Christ fulfilled this prophecy. How that Jesus Christ, as we mentioned a moment ago, came from that place at his Father's right hand. Again, was born of that virgin. Lived a sinless, innocent life. And became, oh my, became God's sacrifice for our sins. Yes, the message of a suffering Messiah, which we'll get to a little bit more in a moment. Philip in this would have explained how believers in Jesus would identify with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He may have related to the eunuch where he had just been. That he had been up in the area of Samaria and there was preaching Jesus Christ, preaching the same message that he declared unto the eunuch. And how that folks there believed, how they put their faith, how they trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior and followed the Lord in baptism. He's explained all that to the eunuch. Indeed. Wow. They travel along. We have no idea how long they traveled along. It just says in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they traveled along. They came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, well, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, again, I have no idea how long all this takes. The conversation must have encompassed, as we just mentioned, those fundamental truths of salvation and the Christian life. Those very first principles of the Christian life. How do we know that? Well, because of the question the eunuch asked. The question asked a very pertinent question. What does it mean to be baptized? They came across that body of water. It prompts the question from the eunuch. Simply, can I be baptized? Can I be? Again, what's going on? Just get us, so we get in the context. Philip has preached unto him Jesus. Told this man what Jesus Christ did to pay the price of his sin. And as he laid all that out, they come to this body of water. And the eunuch asked the question, is there anything that would keep me from being baptized? And so Philip responds to him. And Philip in verse 37 said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he, the eunuch, answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, what's that about? What does that confession of the eunuch mean? What does it contain? Now, listen to this. Very important. The eunuch declares that he believes in Jesus, first of all. What does that name mean? Jehovah's salvation. I believe in Jesus. Jehovah's salvation.
Amen.
The Christ. The Christ. What's the Christ? It's not part of His name. It's a designation of who He is. Jesus Christ. Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Jesus Christ was that one anointed by God to carry out His plan to provide the salvation for mankind, for sinful man. Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. When He declared that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He was declaring, I believe that Jesus is God's salvation, His Anointed One, and is the Son of... Again, I'm filling in the blanks for us, okay? When He declared that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He was declaring that He's God the Son.
Right.
Remember this. He wants to be baptized. The Holy Spirit records this specific testimony for us. Nothing's by mistake. Remember this. Baptism itself doesn't save anyone. Baptism itself doesn't save anyone.
Right.
Baptism does not save. Baptism is that outward testimony of what God has done inside.
Yeah.
It's the outward evidence of an inward experience. Oh, this baptism in the desert. I want to go back up just a second. Philip said to him, if thou believest with all thine heart. He didn't say with all thy mind. Now, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he was convinced by what Philip revealed to him from the Scriptures. Starting there in Isaiah, he covered through the Bible, through the Old Testament, what it says about Jesus. And I'm sure the eunuch believed that. He understood that with his mind, but it went far beyond that. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. The expression all thine heart means with every bit of your heart. With everything that you are. What a testimony. We get to this baptism in the desert, verses 38 and 39. Tremendous example for us. Tremendous instruction for us. We have here a pattern give us to follow as we baptize as a New Testament church today, as we will do a little while from now. Notice how it's described. It's important what we read here. In verse 38, he, the eunuch then, commanded the chariot to stand still. And they, the eunuch and Philip, went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And it says he baptized him. He baptized him. Again, I'm sure Philip explained to the eunuch just what baptism was. And they came to this body of water that was sufficient to accomplish biblical baptism. Now, if sprinkling a little water on the eunuch's head or pouring a glass of water or whatever, a cup of water, onto the head would have been sufficient to baptize the eunuch, they wouldn't have had to leave the chariot. They're traveling across the desert. Obviously, the eunuch would have been carrying for himself and those that were part of his, I'll just use the word entourage, his guards and drivers. They would have had drinking water. A little drinking water in the hand, he could have... No, beloved. That's not biblical baptism.
Right.
It's not biblical baptism. Or Philip could have just ran over there to the water and got a handful and ran back to the chariot and sprinkled some. No. They both got out of the chariot, and it says they went down into the water. No. Just a little sprinkling would not have been good enough. That would not have constituted biblical baptism. Because of Philip's teaching, the eunuch, he understands as well that there needed to be sufficient water to do a biblical baptism. And so what do we have? We have Philip immersing the eunuch. Baptizes. It says what? And he baptized him. Now, stick with me here. The pattern for baptism is found in Matthew 28, verse 19, where we read, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing." I just want to stop a second. The word baptize means to immerse. It means to dip. It's what the word means. The word has a definition. And it means to dip or to immerse. So why did Philip have to immerse the eunuch? Why? Well, first, as we just said, that's what the word means. That's what the word means, to dip or to immerse. Now, say, well, why does it say baptize in our Bible? Well, the Bible translators didn't translate the word. The Greek word is the word baptizo. And what they did was they created an English word when they translated the scriptures. Essentially, they created an English word rather than simply translating the word with the words immerse or dip. Now, personally, I've been pastoring Baptist churches. Well, actually, I've been a Baptist since I was baptized and joined the First Baptist Church of Howland in Warren, Ohio, 45 years ago. I'm thankful that I'm not known as a dip. I mean, it's just the metropolitan dippers. No, it just doesn't have much of a ring to it. But that would be literal, beloved. That would be the literal. But secondly, and very important, baptism is the testimony of what God has done for the believer. It's his testimony of what God did for us. It's our testimony of what Jesus Christ did through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. As I explained to the folks Wednesday night, they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And then they come back up out of the water. Verse 39, it says, "And when they were come up out of the water," rose up out of the water, "the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip." The eunuch saw him no more. His job was done. He went on his way. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now, just one last testimony here, beloved, to what took place. These two men, they went down into the water. Philip baptized, or what? Immersed him beneath the surface of the water. The eunuch and Philip then came back up out of the water. Philip is whisked away by the Holy Spirit of God. Later, as we read, he was found in the area of Azotus, and ultimately it seems he settled in Caesarea. But the eunuch goes on his way, it says, rejoicing. Rejoicing. What do you think happened when he got home? I love this. What do you think happened when you got to the house? What happened? Hey, what happened when you got saved? And you got to the house. Did the rejoicing stop? No. I mean, I remember the night I got saved. Marcia was in the bed asleep. Hey! I woke her up. I woke her up. I had to tell somebody. I got to my folks' house a day or so later. Guess what happened? I got saved.
Amen.
The eunuch, he went on his lotus. He went on his way rejoicing. He got back home in Ethiopia. And I'm sure he was telling everybody he could. I love it. I love it. The gospel. Now listen to this, folks. The gospel went to Africa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, just as we close, then as we read all this, who is the proper candidate to be baptized? Who should get baptized? Well, the person who has placed their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin. That's why we as Baptists call it believer's baptism. What did Philip say to the eunuch? If thou believest with all thy heart. This thing, baptism, is for believers. One that is saved. One that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes. Yes. Wow. Well, what's the proper way to be baptized then? Well, to be immersed, dipped down into the water. A couple of the girls was talking the other night after church, and I could tell they was a little nervous. How long are you going to hold me under? I won't mention Bria asking that question. No. How long are you going to... No. It's a beautiful thing. In a few moments, these ones are going to make their declaration of their faith in Christ.
Right.
I believe.
And
I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And we'll go back to the baptismal pool. And there, they'll make that public declaration to all of you. I'm saved. God has saved me. I believe in Jesus Christ. And as your witness, I'll say to, and again, as the designated one with the under the authority of Metropolitan Baptist Church, I have the privilege of performing those baptisms. As we stand there together in that pool of water, I'll make that statement, upon your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We lower them into the water, buried in the likeness of His death. And immediately raise them up out of the water, declaring, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. That beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ has done for them. Next to leading somebody to Jesus, baptism is one of the most blessed privileges that a pastor, a preacher of the gospel has. It's a real joy. Tremendous joy. Wow. As we conclude today, I just want to make this one last declaration. It may be you're here today visiting Metropolitan Baptist Church. It may be you come into our presence today and you don't have that confidence of your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have that confidence that your sins have been forgiven. I'm so thankful to be able to communicate to you that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, laid down His life, shed His innocent, sinless blood to pay the price of your sin. And if God would so deal with your heart to realize that your sin is awful, it's ugly, it's an offense to God and puts you under the condemnation and wrath of God. But if you're willing, to repent of your sin, that means reject it. Turn in faith to Jesus Christ. Receive Him as your Savior. As that one who paid the price of your sin for you. You can have that joy, that peace, that confidence that you are right with God. Peace has been made. Let's stand together, beloved. Heavenly Father, we bow before You and we thank You for our Savior, Jesus. We thank You for He that laid down His life to pay the price of our sin, my sin, our sin. Lord, I'm asking You in Jesus' name, Lord, take Your word, deliver it to our hearts today. Lord, we covered a lot. The most important thing that we can remember from this message is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died so that we could have life and life abundant. And so, Father, I'm praying for anyone that might be within these walls that yet needs Jesus, needs that forgiveness of sin. Lord, I'm asking You in His name, in Jesus' name, that You might be pleased, oh God, to deal with that heart, any heart here today that still needs Jesus as their Savior. Lord, please, please, might they see that Jesus loves them, that He died for them. And Lord, this day, You draw them. Give them liberty, Father, to come declaring faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Redeemer. Lord, again, thank You for these ones that have been saved over this last week or so. Bless and praise Your holy name. Thank You, Lord. Well, please bless in this invitation. Bless in the baptism to come. In Jesus' name and for His glory we pray. Amen. Brother John.
Jesus paid it all.
He did. Amen.
Amen. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby Thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Precious folks, let's stand right up here. Amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me see here. Five of these were saved. Let me see. One, two, three, four, five. Or four of y'all were saved in conjunction with youth camp.
Amen.
And Miss Ruth was saved this morning.
Amen.
Braden was saved last Sunday evening.
Amen.
But as we do, these ones, God worked in each one of these lives individually.
Right.
Drawing each one of them to Himself. We'll start with you, Miss Bria. This is Bria McCann. Okay. And Bria was saved last Saturday morning.
Man.
We thought camp was done. And before we, I guess in between the last amen of camp and eating pizza, she got saved. Hallelujah. Miss Caitlin had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. So, Bria, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes.
And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and in that become a member of Metropolitan Baptist Church.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Then we have Evie. This is Evie Ellis. You were saved
Tuesday.
That's right. Tuesday. Following camp, Miss Michelle had the opportunity to talk to her. And Evie, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and unite with His church. Amen. And this is Myra Ellis. I'm trying to stay out of the way. And Myra, you were saved, I believe, in the wee hours of Friday morning, or is it Thursday morning? Friday morning. And again, Miss Michelle had the privilege of talking to her. And Myra, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and unite with this church. Yeah, she said yes. Amen. And this is Ruth Little. I very deliberately said Ruth because I've called her Ruthie all her life. Ruth Little. And Ruth, this morning, you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Sorry. And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and unite with this church, Metropolitan Baptist. Amen. This is Kirsten Stebelowski. And I believe it was Thursday night after the service during youth camp. She was struggling, and Miss Susie Hudson had the privilege of talking to her. And she received Christ as her Savior. And Kirsten, it's Kirsten, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Amen. And this is Braden Stavlosky. And Braden, you were saved last Sunday. Was that after the morning service or evening service?
Evening.
After the evening service. And Brother, what's your name? Daniel. Had the privilege of talking to him. So, Braden, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes, sir.
And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and unite with this church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 Well, church, I ask you, are you, I can't even get the words. These ones are petitioning membership in Metropolitan Baptist Church on the promise of their being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Do you receive them as members? All in favor of receiving them as members in the Metropolitan Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
I'll spit it out yet. Amen. All right. Oh, and oppose the same sign. Good. Right. Well, we're going to dismiss. The ladies are going to go this way. Daniel, will you come with me for... And Braden and I will go this way. The ladies can use the changing room and that nursery. You can follow Miss Marsha if you want, ladies. She's right there. Great. Super.
Let's sing Jesus Saves. Amen. We have heard the joyful sound. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By His death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves. Sing and triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
We'll sing Shall We Gather at the River, 320. Now, if y'all see them ready to be baptized and I'm still singing, y'all wave a hand or something so I know, okay? I'm sorry, I wasn't quite ready. Let's start. Shall we gather at the river
where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits we deliver, and provide a robe and crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease, soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Okay, once again, you just heard from Bria that she received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, and I just wanted you to be able to see her good. And let's step back down here, Miss Bria. Wait one second. I just want to make one thing clear once again. What these six folks are doing does not add to their salvation whatsoever. What they're doing here today is declaring to everyone that is present what God has done in them. Each one of these folks have made this testimony that they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And upon that profession of their faith, we are baptizing. They are identifying with what Jesus Christ did for them in His death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Bria, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in a life of the life of the dead. Raised in the life of the dead. Her son Braden behind us. It's nice. This baptistry is nice and big. When we have more than one member of a family being baptized, it's a blessing that they can be in here together. Kirsten, you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. And Lord,
amen.
Okay, this is Braden Stavrolowski. And Braden, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Braden, upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
The Lord bless you, brother. This is Myra Ellis. And Myra, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Myra, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
This is Evie Ellis. Evie, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. On your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Little, and I've known Ruth since the day she's born. It's a great blessing to be at this day with her and have the privilege of baptizing her. Ruth, you have received Christ as your Savior. And so then Ruthie, that you have to get a hold on to this together. There you go. Ruthie, she's short enough, I can do it up here. Ruthie, upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death, and raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen!
Go! Praise the Lord.
Amen. If you would stand, we're going to be dismissed with our chorus. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back, what glory that will be. Wonderful His love to dismissed.